You're watching Comedy at the Carlson Cast with your host, Vinny Paulino. Sitting next to him, as always, is Mr. Brian Ball.
Back into the hole.
I am the increasingly feathered Nick Lavasser. And today, we've got the one and only Bobby Kelly. Now let's turn it over to your host, Mr. Vinny Paulino.
Oh my God. Did he feathered?
How many days a week do you spend thinking of your intro?
Huh? I put next to no thought into it. It just comes to me in a fugue state.
And what bothers me about it is he is very feathery. Like, it's such a weird flowy thing. He makes the weirdest decisions with his hair.
It just happens.
You know what decisions I make with my hair?
None.
How long can I wait before I get it cut? That's really the only choice I have.
He's like a hipster peacock.
Kind of.
Like a peacock that listens to Joywave.
Hey, I'm more of a Joy Division guy than anything. Some really mopey peacock.
Oh, yeah, you're the real cool, Nick. You're the coolest. Welcome to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Another day in paradise. At least paradise for us, because we are inside one of the nation's greatest comedy clubs, the Comedy at the Carlson in Rochester, New York.
Woo! Heyo!
I like it when Brian fakes being happy.
I am happy.
Oh.
This is just my maximum level of happiness.
Yeah, well, like Nick said earlier, we got Bobby Kelly coming in studio. I'm very excited about it because big fan.
Me
big
too. Fan. Me big too.
I hope the couch is comfy for him. I don't know. I'm excited about it. I really do like Bobby.
He was fluffing cushions.
This is actually the very first time I've ever met him.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yeah, me too, I guess.
So I guess I know some guys from that circle, a couple people. But, yeah, I'm just been in awe of what he's done for podcasting and all that stuff. So I'm going to try not to suck up too bad.
Oh, is that why you're doused in Febreze?
No, that's because he hasn't made it to Wegmans yet this weekend.
Oh, God, Febreze.
Yeah.
It's my new nickname. So, I'm killing today. Woo! Yay me. Big show. We're going to talk about comedy with him, podcasting, talk about some of his TV work, and some interesting shows that he's done that we may or may not have ever seen. But before we do, I want to just discuss big things coming up at Comedy at the Carlson. Next week, Jay Farrell from Saturday Night Live is going to be here.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
And a show I'm very losing my mind about, let me just bring this up, May 1st, WWE superstar Dolph Ziggler is going to be here.
I thought it was May 2nd.
Oh, May 2nd. The website said May 1st. Either way, May 1st or May 2nd, you could buy a ticket and come see Dolph Ziggler.
He's awesome. And he's actually not just a wrestler. He's actually a genuine comic. Like, he actually works at it.
Right. And I'm really interested to see what he does. His feature act's going to be Sarah Tiana. She's coming traveling with him. So I'm super pumped. I'm hosting.
Sweet.
Super kick contest.
I bet Dolph wins.
I would as well, because I'm going to throw it. I'm going to throw it so Dolph wins and take all the money.
Yeah.
So the
show-off.
The show-off Dolph Ziggler is going to be in Rochester, which is very exciting. And let's hope this sells out and does really good because we got some other interesting things. I'm not going to drop any clues, but we're working on something. So let's start with our sponsors today, shall we, boys?
Yes.
Iron Smoke Whiskey.
Mmm,
warm, delicious, available in two varieties, Applewood Smoked Whiskey or Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey.
I had too much of that on Monday night.
The Apple Pie?
The regular.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that Loving Cup?
Yeah.
Brian filled in for me at Loving Cup for the choice on Monday night, which, by the way, if you want to come see me live every Monday night, host a singing competition.
It's fun to play Ryan Seacrest for an evening.
It really is. It really is. And I do it without sexually harassing my stylist.
That's nice.
Oh, I missed that.
Nick is my stylist. He feathers my hair.
I missed that part.
Ryan, did you get like overly giddy and say, ball out?
No, I just, I was kind of mean.
You Simon Cowell'd it?
Yeah.
Cool. He wasn't a judge. That's why he was so bad at the job.
But as a host, I was still mean.
Well, so am I, but I do it like in a happy, smiley way.
Yeah.
I just smile at people and say mean things.
I didn't do that.
Yeah. You're incapable of smiling, so I understand.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Face.
Oh, my God, Nick. It's Sapori.
Wow, that was an enthusiastic one this morning.
That was like a Michael McDonald Sapori call out.
I could do that, though.
Do it. Let's see it. Sapporo. No, that was like Eddie Vedder.
Yeah.
Do it again, Nick.
I apparently I'm just going to Eddie Vedder. Put it in
there. I love Sapporo. It's delicious.
That sounds more like Creed.
Got pasta too. Yeah. Cafe and Catering, Powers Building Atrium, Tennis Club of Rochester, or your special event at Sapori Rochester. Don't forget you can order them on Grubhub, Facebook. Well, you can't. I don't know if you can order on Facebook. They're available on Facebook, Instagram, and find at Sapori Rochester. And don't forget Sapori. It's Italian for flavor.
Flavore.
Not Italian. Three Heads Brewing. If you come to Comedy at the Carlson, it is the official beer sponsor of the Comedy at the Carlson cast. Do your boys a favor. Order yourself something delicious off of that tap, baby. You're going to get yourself one of – they always have three kinds on tap here at the Comedy at the Carlson. So the kind, sometimes there's two kind. Sometimes there's giant gorilla dove squad beer sometimes.
Giant gorilla dove squad.
Yeah, that's what they named their giant panda IPA is one of theirs. Hold on. What's the other one? They just did tropical kind.
Tropical kind is amazing.
Mm. Sometimes I just go into the cooler, look at the kegs and weep.
Mm. Weep for your liver.
But yeah, in a good way. Good, it's like a happy cry. Yeah.
It's a happy, I just love you. Threeheadsbrewery.com. And folks, hey Nick.
Yeah?
How's your vape dripping?
Good, but bad. But in the good way.
BadDripLabs.com. Premium e-liquids made in New York State. Right here in Rochester, in fact, shipped all over the world. It's Bad Drip, at Bad Drip on Instagram, available in many fine varieties. Bad Blood, Ugly Butter, Farley's, Gnarly Sauce, Cereal Trip, all kinds of varieties. They also have a second brand that Nick is quite fond of called Clown.
You should just wear that all the time.
We should just tattoo it on his forehead.
Just to warn others.
Yeah.
That weirdo's got a clown sticker on his head, and his breast smells like raspberry yogurt.
Actually, right now, I think it's like blueberry grape. It's called Drooly. It's delightful.
Drooly. Uh-huh. I like it. I dig it. So baddriplabs.com. We're going to show a little commercial from them, and we are going to be right back with Mr. Bobby Kelly. Stay tuned. Great job, Nick. Really awesome. Solid. Really solid.
Nailed it.
Nailed it, buddy. Give it up for Nick. I'm proud of you this morning. In studio this morning is our headliner here at Comedy at the Carlson, Mr. Robert Kelly. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I thank you very much for that smattering of applause.
Well, there's three of us. What do you want?
Nothing. I'd rather take nothing.
All right.
I'd rather be like, hey, good.
Duly noted.
The only thing that's bothering me is that you're a chubby guy.
Yep.
But you have your camera and mic set up to enhance you. You look great. Look at you. Because you're forward. You're leaning forward.
Oh,
with me, like Jabba the Hutt.
Just slouched on a couch.
On a fucking, like a fucking an elephant seal. I mean.
Here's what we're going to do. Let's adjust it. Let's adjust it. I mean, Brian, help the man out.
Be up.
All right.
Help the man out.
It? Let me do it.
Oh, don't do that. Please don't do that. All right. Oh, dear God.
I got it.
It's all right, buddy.
I run a network. All right. I know. Stay right there.
You're just fine.
Just stay right there. I run a whole network.
This is perfect.
Now that's, look at that. Look how much better I look.
Oh, my God.
That looks good.
It's now Brad Arpit, everybody. Now you just have to hold on to it. Hey, all right, there we go.
Nick, could you show me my camera real fast? Could you show me real fast?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
Brian, you look fine.
Yeah. Right,
everybody's
you
fine.
Fixed everything.
Let me tell you something, sir.
First of all,
you're getting a credit. You're getting a credit.
I love that you have, this is, studio's amazing.
Thank you kindly.
I mean, this is actually a beautiful studio. The production's great. And you have all the cameras on one tripod.
Yes.
The Camtopus is what it's called.
Camtopus.
Camtopus.
Yes.
Did you make that name up yourself?
I think he did.
I like it.
Thank you.
All the cameras on one. I mean, you don't have to do that.
Well, see, here's the idea. I stole it from, you know how they do like VR cameras now?
Yeah.
And it's like that 360 view?
Yes, sir.
I was just like, you know, all it is a bunch of tiny little lenses going around. And I was like, we're doing it. We had a tiny room. We got to get a 360.
Yeah.
It's the only way to do it.
Well, here's the deal, too. The VR porn, let me just say, have you watched that yet?
Can't do it.
Really?
Can't do it. It's gross. Like, yes. Like, you're looking at this stuff. And then you realize you're like in an imaginary room.
Yeah.
And then you start looking around and you're like, you people couldn't have vacuumed before this thing started, before you filmed this? It's like,
apparently.
It's just kind of gross.
That would be like my wife watched it. That's what girls do when they watch VR porn. Nice cabinets.
I'm sorry. It's just creepy.
How about the vagina in front of you? That didn't make you forget.
I guess
about the
one that I saw, it was people like doing it on a bed and you were kind of like away from them. It wasn't like
you weren't the guy.
No.
No,
the one I'm talking. I was
the guy in the corner.
Look down, you have a way better cock.
Speak for yourself, Robert.
Well, I am speaking for me because I'm speaking. But,
he's an idiot. Don't worry.
My crock is atrocious. And you look down. It's some other dude's in shape, legs shaven because he has muscles on him. I did it in a bar after a comedy club.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
The dude was like, "Dude, check this out," and I put it on, and I start. It was so weird. The girl comes to you and she's
right.
Like, "Hey, baby." She's like right in your
face. And you're in VR going,
"Hey, baby, you want me to touch it?" And I'm like, And then I started pumping. She was on me, and I'm looking. I started pumping at the bar.
Uh-huh.
And I had to take him off. Like, get him off me. Because I was getting aroused. Like, I was getting a boner.
Fucking science.
Dude, you're going to be able to. This is what you're going to be able to do.
Right.
The girl, the porn star that you love, or, you know, guy. I don't know.
Stormy Daniels.
Whatever,
I don't know.
Whatever the dude's name is, right?
Right.
You're going to be able to say, "I want a porn with you." Go film a porn.
Yeah.
You know, $10,000, $5,000. Film a porn with them, VR. Take it home. And when you look down, it's you. And you can jerk off to you banging your person.
And just relive it any moment you want.
Reliving it forever. How great is that?
Well, you know, it gets back to the problem with what you said was the great thing about it was not having your dick and your legs there when you look down.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe I could get in shape. Maybe I could lose some weight.
Solid point. If you're going to put an investment in there, if there's going to be a production.
You're going to work out for your porn.
People have lost weight for less.
Everybody needs a goal.
Sure.
Maybe that could be a goal.
I want to look good for my VR porn.
I want to look good for my shemale V. I'm sorry. My regular porn VR girl.
Right. Right. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Take a note, Brian.
Okay.
Duly noted. So, Robert Kelly, New York City these days? Whereabouts are you living?
Well, I live outside of the city now because I have the kid. As soon as I had the kid, I lived on 47th and Lex for a long time. But then I had a kid, and I just couldn't do it. I'm too high strung. I want to fight people. I have too much anger issues. Never mind having a kid. Now I'm protecting.
Right.
You know,
right.
When I'm in protection mode, like my wife or
fatherly
I mode. I'll cut somebody's head off.
I think
the night I brought the kid home from the hospital, I'm outside with the dogs. And when you have a kid, do you guys have kids?
I do, yeah.
Okay, when you have a kid, they go, okay, take it easy. And then you go.
Yeah.
And there's no instructions.
No,
there's
nothing.
No manual.
It's the ultimate winging it.
Yeah, and I'm in New York City, so there's no car. We have to just get into a cab with no, you know, baby and just hold on to your baby and hope this fucking... this third world country guy just doesn't hit another guy, cab, right?
Well, this
right.
guy from Azerbaijan doesn't right.
exactly.
crash the car.
Yeah, Azerbaijan. Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
I feel like the one time you should spring for a really good private car service is when you're bringing your baby home from the hospital if you have to.
You know what? Good point. I didn't.
If you're going to do it one time.
One time I just did a yellow cab. I'm just a piece of garbage. You're right. Thank you for
I'm just saying.
No, you're absolutely right. I didn't even think of it.
But you're not thinking of that. You're just terrified. Like, oh, my God, a baby.
You're terrified. Then I go home. I'm exhausted. I'm a father now, so now I have to keep something alive.
Right. And it ain't a plant.
I'm out with these two dogs that I have, 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's around. I'm on the phone with my mom.
Right.
You know, telling her that everything's okay, you know. And this guy, homeless guy, walks by, kicks one of my dogs. And now I'm on the phone. Granted, I'm not paying attention, but my dogs aren't taking up the whole sidewalk.
Right.
How'd you get away with the murder?
Well, I got to call you back. And I start yelling at this guy. I go, you just kicked my, you know, my fucking dogs? He's like, yo, man, watch your fucking dogs. And I'm like,
no.
I go, you don't fucking kick. You motherfucker. You don't fucking. And he's like, you don't fucking. He brings it up.
Oy.
So then I go, you fucking. And then he goes, you motherfucking. We keep going, dish.
Right.
This anger, you know, that macho horseshit.
Right.
I get to the point where I'm in his face, and I'm so angry. I go, I will fucking murder you right the fuck now, you piece of shit. And okay. He saw that he can't. Something happened to me.
There isn't a level.
I clicked. And he goes, "You don't like black people." And I went, "What? No, I love black people." What are you talking about? I started rattling off on my. I know Patrice O'Neill's, Kevin Hart. It's one of my friends.
Start listing black friends.
Keith Robinson. I'll call him right now if you want me to.
You should have just given him $5.
I was so like, what the fuck? He pulled the race card.
Wow.
Out right.
Wow.
So
I don't like people who kick my dog, sir.
That's bullshit. I love black people. And then he starts yelling. All of a sudden, I feel my shoulder get grabbed.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, ow.
And it was
ow.
The baby.
No, it was my Russian super, this woman.
Right.
She's a Russian. She grabs my shoulder. She goes, Bubby, you have baby now. You don't fuck around like this. I'm like, okay. She goes, you go home now. You go to baby, okay?
Right.
And she literally walked me by my shoulder right. back to my fucking house.
I've never even met that woman, and I'm still going to hear that voice every time I want to get in a fight.
Bubby, you have a baby. You have a baby now. Like cool.
That's like, yeah.
Even the dude left. He was like, yeah, I'm out.
Baby didn't pop into your head at all during that. It was just pure adrenaline.
I didn't understand how somebody could kick a dog and hurt something. And yeah. I was so fucking strung out that it was like, you know, and I'm one of those.
And you have a baby. You know, you haven't slept in days.
I love vigilantes, too. I'm a big vigilante guy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If I had millions and millions in the bank.
Yeah.
I would get a black hoodie.
You'd be Batman.
I'd be a chubby vigilante. I wouldn't crime, well, not heavy crime. People who don't say please and thank you. I'd grab them and be like, say thank you to that woman.
So vigilantism not worth getting in shape for. VR porn worth getting in shape for.
True that.
Yeah. Okay. Again, all right. Just wanted to clear that up.
I love it when things come full circle. You can get your tickets to see Robert Kelly at Comedy at the Carlson. 2 shows tonight, 2 shows tomorrow. Yes. Get them at carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY to get them. I have some viewer questions, if you don't mind. I have some people who watch and are asking stuff.
Are they watching now?
Yeah, we got people watching at the moment. And I just lost it. Well, we don't let them in the building this early, so we're not going to have anybody near. First question was, what was it like coming up in the Comedy Cellar? Was it tough?
No, not at all. I mean, you understand, the Comedy Cellar, when I got to it, it was before the boom happened. There was a boom that happened in the late 80s, early 90s. And then it had died off by the time I got there. Mm-hmm. So when I got there, you know, it was empty a lot of the nights. Like, you'd go and perform, and it was the same guys, Burr, Patrice, Norton, Quinn, you know, all of us, Marin, and everybody. But it would be kind of empty, you know. Weekends it would have people, but during the week it was empty. As opposed to now, where it's 40-something shows a week. Sold out every show in advance. 4 shows a night.
Yeah.
There's 2 more clubs they added, the Lounge and the Pussycat, which is a bigger club than the Cellar.
Right. Fat Black Pussycat,
clubs.
Right?
Yeah, they have the Fat Black Pussycat, they have the Village Underground and the Comedy Cellar. that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That, you know, that they're filling up four shows here. For, I mean, there's so many shows as opposed to what we did.
Right.
Which was 120 seater, you know, with obstructed view.
Right. Right.
You know
right.
I mean? So yeah. it was a little different now, but coming up, it was, look, the one thing we had that we were always pushing each other. And another thing that I don't know, I don't really see that much anymore is we were all different.
Right.
You know what I mean? We dressed differently. We had different backgrounds. We had different silhouettes.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. those guys you just said. It's all completely different.
Yeah, we weren't the same. We were funny. We were all funny. But we were funny upstairs and downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
We were funny on a corner. We were funny on the plane. If we never stepped on stage, we were funny.
Right.
And we were all kind of funny in our own way. And we didn't go, oh, I have to be that funny. There wasn't comedy. There wasn't that much comedy on TV. The internet really wasn't around to watch comedy. You could listen to tapes or records, maybe,
right. George Carlson. George Carlin, you nailed it.
George yeah. Carlin or, sorry, George Carlin or Richard Pryor.
Yeah,
or
yeah, sure.
Like that. And everybody, oh, yeah. But we didn't, I don't know if we did that. We did it, but we actually lived funny.
And wrote
we
on
We didn't go and say, oh, let's watch every special on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of learn to be funny. We were just funny, and we were just funny with. So when people say who's your favorite comedian or who did you idolize, it was my friends.
Right.
I didn't fucking know Pryor.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, I love Pryor. He's funny. It made me laugh. Eddie Murphy was hilarious. They were all funny, but hanging out every night with fucking funny people at the diner, in front of the pizza place, in front of the cellar, at the table, at the Chinese place. Wherever the fuck, and that funny is what kind of made me.
Does it amaze you how that funny, like that, those funny guys yeah. really helped build that scene, build it up into what it is? It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah, I think, well, look, I think comedy had a boom again.
I think so, too.
With yeah, the internet absolutely.
And with, you know, how many channels there are now.
Netflix,
I mean, comedy, it became a competition between networks to have comedy
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, they kept, you know, we need more comic. It's good in one way, it's bad in another, because, you know, some guy who's fucking an open micer is all of a sudden a feature act, and the feature act is all of a sudden headlining. It's like,
sure.
So you go and see shows, and, you know, people aren't, it's like, that's funny, but it's not, it's, the cake isn't cooked.
Yeah.
You haven't a cake that's not done right yet. You
right.
know? As opposed to, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound like an old fucking bag.
Listen, man,
but
I'm
as
listening.
As opposed to when I, yeah. you know, when I was coming up, I saw yeah. when Patrice turned the corner. You know what I'm saying? When he became that, the next level.
Right.
I saw when Norton, you know, was doing this and then did this, and now he's doing, you know, I saw when, you know, Louis, you know, kind of went from this to that. I was right. at Just for Laughs Festival. When he did an hour.
And we're not talking about the comedy boom of the business side of it for those guys. We're talking about their acts and them as performers.
Their acts, yeah. It was a weird thing. But there was also a competition, too, because we would beat each other out of shit jokes.
Right.
We'd make fun of you. Like I used to fuck a stool
uh-huh.
a lot.
Uh-huh. I heard you told us about it, the bar, the VR goggles.
Yeah.
No, you're very proud of that.
I'm in my act, you know what
okay.
I mean? Like
yeah.
I used to, you know, everybody has to, you know, you get a stool and you do a joke on it, you bang
right.
it, you know, whatever. And they made fun of me so much that I was like, I'm done doing that. And then I'd see my friends all of a sudden at this level where you're like, fuck, man, I'm still doing this shit.
Right.
And it was a weird, not a competition, I guess, but it was kind of competitive where you're like, ah, fuck, dude, I'm getting left behind.
It's like a friendly rivalry.
It's a rivalry, but it's also, yeah. And it's like, look, he's becoming better. And she's getting better. Okay, I got to step my shit up.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be left behind. You can't be satisfied. Like, I just had a conversation with Colin Quinn.
I love it.
About comedy. And we were talking about, like, quitting the business. Like, what would it take? And, he, you know, how much money?
Not a heart attack.
But no shit. And he goes, I don't think I'd take any money yet. I'm like, why? Like, he's like, I'm not done.
Right.
I'm not,
yeah.
He goes, I still have something I'm trying to figure out. That's what he said. I'm still trying to figure this out. Right. Colin Quinn, who literally has 10 minutes,
one
15
of the best.
Minutes of new heart attack jokes.
That's what I heard, yeah. So,
and it's like he's still trying to figure it out. And I think that's where you should be. That's why I see these comics that have it all figured out or blah, blah, blah. It's like, all right, whatever, dude.
They may have a formula that gets laughs, but there's no way to possibly understand something that's so broad and different, and there's no real wrong way to go that comedy is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a weird
thing. It's hard to master a lot of styles, I guess.
I think it's hard because you always have to – you have to fucking keep pushing it, and you can't be satisfied with it because when you get satisfied with it, you're going to do that and not go to something else or push yourself to go somewhere else.
And that's what I love about your podcast, that when you just have a bunch of comedians sitting around, you capture that – that just sort of being funny all the time, and you capture the favorite pastime of comedians. If somebody has something good happen to them, you have to kick them in the balls just a little bit. And if they have something bad happen to them, you have to make it worse.
Well, it's funny.
I just love the way that you guys joke around together.
It can
it's
be
just
a
like...
little fucking hectic, and it can be a little, you know, my fucked up side comes out where I was shut the fuck up, and, you know, it's real. I mean, it's people annoy people. I just had Andrew Schultz on and Justin Silver at the same time. They both have crazy, I'm gorgeous, young, I fuck egos.
Yeah.
And they were yapping. I love both of them. They're both great guys. They're funny guys.
We have Andrew coming in a few weeks, actually.
Yeah, great. I love him. But there was one point where I was like, dude, I'm going to fucking throw something at your fucking head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But that, to me, you know, sometimes you can get these shows where it gets heated. I mean, I had Will Sylvins come in one time, and there was this girl comic that was on, and he walked in. He goes, "Ah, you got nice titties."
Oh no!
And she immediately goes, "Fuck what?" And it was offended and fuck you. And he was like, "Oh, I just said nice titties." And it's like, dude,
what'd I do?
But to me, I understand. I'm with her. Get you.
Yeah, yeah.
I get you.
Sure.
I don't want to say honey, but I get you, miss. You know? But
ma'am.
That we were funny about it, you know what I mean? And he was so uncomfortable about it, which made me laugh. So it's like, it's hard to do those podcasts because it's easier to just do an interview show for me.
Yeah.
It's easier to just kind of, you know, hype somebody up or whatever. It's hard to get a room of alpha motherfuckers.
Absolutely. With thick skin.
To get in line with a...
2, 3, 4 of me. Crazy fucking people in the same room and fucking steer that.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. You know? That's a hard thing to do. People don't give credit to people who steer a show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. I'm telling you.
You're just herding cats.
Dude, how did you do that? You turned your head all the way around.
Yeah. The demon.
It's hard to do, but thank you, dude. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I love it. Being a comedian, it just feels like hanging out. Yeah.
That's what it is. And comic hangs are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You can't hear people. People talk over each other. They're trying to get to the joke at the same time.
Yeah,
I know I get shit for that. Dude, you got too many people on. Suck my dick. I know. And I try to bring it down and bring it up and blow you a fuck around with it all the time.
Now, I'm sorry.
My son just started working here at the Carlson, and sometimes he says, like, oh, yeah, I was hanging out with the other comics. You guys are awful. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, we are awful to each other. But it's funny to us, and it's how you get funnier.
It's just because his son gets bullied. Don't listen to him. your show, the podcast, you started in 2010. Is that accurate?
It might be, yeah.
Yeah.
I started that on my phone. Well, the thing is that I did a podcast years ago with Colin Quinn on my iPhone, I believe. And it was called Robert Kelly is Sometimes Colin Quinn. And it was before anybody did podcasts.
Right.
I mean, literally.
Well, the only guy that I know of that started, I think, in like the comedy genre, but he's not really in the comedy genre, Kevin Smith got to it very early, like around 07. He was doing like online radio stuff.
Yeah, he might have been doing that type of stuff. I mean, I'm talking comics like before.
Sure,
like,
and that's why I wanted to get to. My point was, you were like the pioneer, my friend.
I was one of the guys that figured out I did a thing called GCast.
Uh-huh.
I like these apps, you know, and I would find these apps, and I found this app. Me and Dane actually found it, where you would go on, and it was you could leave a message for your fans.
Mm-hmm.
And then send them this link, and they could go listen to it on the web. That's as simple as that.
That does
sound
it
was supposed
familiar.
To be like a minute, or you know. But I would just do it for an hour. So what I would do is I would call Colin, and then on three-way, called this GCast.
Right.
It would hit. It would go. okay, you're recording. And we would just talk on the phone for a half hour, which we did every night anyways.
Right.
Me and Colin would talk every night. So what I would do is just record those and be like, dude, let's do this. And we did it. We had around 20,000 listeners. It was Dane wow. Cook, Madonna, P. Diddy, and then us.
Wow.
It was crazy. Because we were the only ones doing it.
I think the craziest thing is Dane Cook was ahead of Madonna.
But he, at that time, he was fucking massive.
Yeah.
I mean, that was crazy. But I remember, if you listen to Billy Burr's first podcast, it's me hooking up his G-Cast. He's like, dude, I'm not good. Bobby's figuring this out, dude. You know, he knows how to do it. He's putting this thing. So his first is me hooking his G-Cast up.
That's
so it was all brand new. I started doing that with Quinn, and then I quit. Because some guy, this is how fucking funny Quinn is, some guy wanted to give us like $5,000 a week.
You're kidding me.
I swear to God, to do this show, Robert Kelly and sometimes Colin Quinn. And I call Colin, he's like, yeah, no. I'm like, yeah, but it's $5,000 a week. I mean, dude, to each of us. He's like, yeah, I don't want to. I go, can we just call him? He goes, you can call him if you want. So I call him on three-way. And the guy picks up. He's like, hey, guys, I'm kind of cooking dinner right now for my son. Is there any way I can call you right back? And Colin's like, no. He goes, I'm not doing it. He goes, well, is there any way I can just give you my pitch? And then he's like, yeah, no, it's not going to happen.
Wow.
I just started laughing. I'm like, you motherfucker. He just made me laugh. Because it's just Colin. You know what I mean? He's like, I don't want to do it, you fuck. Yeah, you can call him. Go ahead, call him. I'll say no to his face, too, you fucking fat, blobbing nothing. And he said right no to his face. And that was the end of it. We stopped doing it.
Wow. So that I guess that's a valid reason to walk away.
Stop doing it. Then I came back and started doing it on my phone.
Right.
Yeah, I had some web guy. I was like, dude, I want to do my stuff on my phone. I want to email it to my website, recognize that it's an audio file, and I wanted to suck it up and put it on iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, without doing anything.
I had some fucking dude from Laosia figure that out. Some dude, I don't know, I paid him like $18 and he made this thing where I could do it. And I think the first one was with Rich Voss.
Wow.
Just on my phone. I would sit there and do this on my phone. That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Did I just see that you and Rich Voss are in a Woody Allen movie together?
No, well, close. Louis C.K.
Louis C.K., forgive me.
No.
Very close.
No, Louis' movie that he filmed. Which is, funny enough, the movie is so epic because he filmed it on black and white film.
Okay, like actual film.
On film. So
okay.
Kodak, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were the only people that still make it.
They had to make it for him in Boston. There was a Kodak plant. They had to make it for film for him. And every night someone would have to take the film, drive it to Boston 3.5 hours to get it developed, to look at it the next day to edit. So it was crazy.
Because the way they used to do it was they used to have the stuff to be able to do it there, but they don't even...
Oh, yeah.
No, the stuff's nowhere.
Be in New York City. It was
you can't,
just,
you can't even get the chemicals anymore.
Can't even get the chemicals. They had to reopen the factory for Louis' movie. And it was really... it was crazy. It was like shooting an old-time movie, though. He was on this camera. There was a guy, like the little... You know, all right, cut. We're out of film. Had to...
Right.
30 minutes to fucking reload the camera, and John Malkovich is on some yacht. Me and Rich Voss are on a dinghy. It's like 900 degrees out. I mean, we were fighting.
Were they using those flashes with the fire in them? You know, they go pff, like the old timey, like 1800s flashes.
Yeah. It was weird because me and Rich Voss, we got into a big fight.
Over what?
Of course, with Voss.
Sure, okay.
Disrespect me. Right? And
all right.
We're on a boat, and I'm telling him, I said fuck off to him about something. So it's you got to say, Louis and the whole crew is on this big yacht.
Yeah.
John Malkovich and the actors are on this massive $1 million beautiful yacht.
Right.
And me and Voss on a dinghy.
Okay.
It's about right.
Yeah.
So we're...
makes sense.
Can we at least get a jet boat?
I did the joke. You want to keep doing it, you can do it. Two times.
No, it's just a smart move is all I'm saying. Production-wise, all right.
Okay, three times, four times. Okay. We're
going to keep going.
No, I'm good.
Hey,
Chubby, I'm good, thank you.
You want to get off your phone and jump in on the phone? I love how I said Chubby and two guys turned to me.
Yeah, that's what happens in this room.
But Yeah, we start arguing. I said something to him about a gig. I'm like, dude, fuck you, dude. You're a fuck. He's like, no, that's not true. And I'm like, it's true. I'm not your fuck you. And he goes, who the fuck are you? And we're screaming at each other on this boat. And his arm's over the side of the boat. And the guy doing the boat is listening to the guy telling him what to do. So he fucking swings the boat around. His arm's hanging over. He hits the other boat. Rich's arm gets stuck. Geez. And all of a sudden, you motherfucker, you respect, you don't disrespect. Ow! Scream. He goes, my arm, you hit my... The guy doesn't even acknowledge it. His arm's all black from the rubber on the bumper.
Oh,
God.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fucking...
How could you not be?
I'm just hoping there's no arm from the elbow down.
Right.
I'm hoping he brings it up. He's like, my arm!
You are hoping for a shark.
Yeah. Just a fucking turtle arm hanging. Like a flipper.
Just a strip meat.
A little turtle hand with rings on it floating down into the floor. Oh, dude.
With rings tiny on hands.
There's nobody funnier. Rich Voss, let me tell you something. As far as taking it and giving it, there's nobody better.
Yep.
Because people don't understand. You can give it. I don't give a fuck. Anybody can give it.
Right.
Anybody can give a good smashing. It's taking it. Because it's not fun if you can't take it.
No.
If you can't take the fucking smashing and laugh too, if you're one of those guys who's going to go fucking, well, that's not true. And fucking, you stink. You stink because it's not.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm with you, man.
It's not fun.
Who's following me right
now?
Oh,
please. Let me see.
Who is it? Andrew. Al Voss.
Go ahead.
Voss.
What's up?
I was just talking about you on this podcast I'm on.
What podcast?
Hi, Rich. It's the Carlson Cast up in Rochester. How are you?
He's been on it.
Good. Wait, is that the guys I did at your club?
Yeah. Yep.
No, you're talking to Bobby Kelly and Mark.
This is Bobby Kelly, you fucking asshole.
Oh, I got out of fucking bed for you fucking zeros.
You got out of bed for me, though. I love it.
God. Bobby, Mike, drive you around through memory lane again. Okay, and this is where I drank, and this is where I hung out with. No one gives a fuck about your past. Just be funny.
You just did a whole special about your past, you fucking piece of shit.
You fucking little. And guess what? This is where my mommy and daddy dropped me off and left for the summer.
I never had I didn't have a daddy. All right, so fuck it. The joke is flawed.
Yeah, and so is your life. Holy shit. A joke to your existence.
What word did you just say?
Existence.
Nailed it.
I'm glad you're not here.
That's how you say it.
I just don't want to get it in my face.
Why? Because it's not cum?
I was just telling him about the time we were in the... I love when you get a good one, how much you enjoy yourself, you fucking old piece of shit.
Yeah, okay.
Remember, we were on the boat doing the Louis movie, and we were arguing, and you were screaming at me, who the fuck are you? And then your arm got, the guy hit your fuck, your arm was hanging off the boat, and he hit another boat, and you went, my arm! Like an old fucking yenta.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't have anything for that, because let me tell you, I thought I was going to get crippled. I
don't
need that.
I was hoping that your arm came up and it was just severed from the elbow down.
Remind you of a drumstick?
Oh, God.
Ooh-wee. You're on fire right when you get up, huh, you fucking cocksucker?
Hey, you know what's fucking horrific?
Your career?
About these fucking... these fucking clubs on the road, they get you up this fucking early in the morning to do a fucking podcast. Oh. Hey, listen, you juiceless cocksucking owner, get my friend on fucking radio.
Okay. Oh, shut up, boss.
My mailman has a podcast. He think you could do it at 3 this afternoon? Nobody's listening to this fucking podcast.
I love, first of all, these cocksuckers, you just trashed me for 8 minutes and they're laughing their asses off. You trashed them for 2 seconds, all these serious facts.
Oh,
that's bullshit.
Oh, really? Thanks, boss.
That's bullshit.
Fuck you. Listen, the word juiceless is one of my favorite new words.
Juiceless.
You should get that on a t-shirt called Juiceless Podcast.
Yeah. Voss probably spelled it wrong, though.
What are you in either some guy's mom's basement or up in a garage?
Voss, you've done this show.
Actually, it's a really nice studio.
It's a Comcast.
Yeah, they really do have a nice studio.
You've been here.
So,
you know, somebody's uncle financed a studio for these two open micers. Nobody
gives
a shit.
They're really taking this back.
I love how
And Mark's our uncle now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, listen, when I come up, I'd love to do it.
There goes that date in August for you, boss.
I was gonna say, hey, let's book a date, but
no, it's a podcast. There's a fat guy with a beard and a bunch of figurines behind him. That's original.
Yep.
Get some biscuits on Friday. I've done that dumb podcast with his figurines. Okay, this is a Star Wars jackass. Nobody cares about his superheroes. Okay, you're an adult that has figurines of superheroes.
I do.
You know, I had when they did the movie Comedian with Jerry Seinfeld, they had the gumball machine at the cellar. For 50 cents, you would get a little plastic caricature of the comic, like Colin Quinn. You got so I got all the people,
right?
Barry Katz.
I'd love to have those.
That'd be good for voodoo.
And somebody when I had a party at my house, was in my office, took the Barry Katz one and lit its face on fire.
What an odd choice.
Can you fucking that? And I only invite, you know that, I only invite very close friends to these barbecues. So they must hate Barry Katz so much that they would risk me coming into my fucking office and watch them light my property on fire. That's how much they hate him.
Oh, I wish if it was me, I would have lit you on fire. All right?
Yeah, good one.
Don't try to fucking add dum-dum at the end of it because you bombed, okay?
I didn't add dum-dum.
It was a bomb-bomb is what he said.
I don't have anything now because I just woke up and I'm... You know what I thought? I thought Mark was calling me going, hey, what's up? You know what? I'm filling up the year. Let's put September in or something.
Yeah.
And then I realized I got out of fucking bed and no one's in my house because my wife and kid are up in Canada. So
is that what she calls it?
In hiding.
The closets are empty.
In hiding.
Check your bank account. I hope she left you. I hope she's writing a hit show for Jerry D's.
It's funny that me and you think alike.
Spit it out.
He runs out of funny quick, doesn't he?
I'm gonna smash Alan Havey in his dumb face.
Why? Why?
It gets on my nerves.
Alan Havey?
Oh, boy, does he get on my fucking nerves. Fucking martini drinking zero.
Anybody who drinks a fucking martini, let me tell you something. The fucking feature act last week, I came into the dressing room. He had a martini with olives just so people would walk in and go, ooh. And everybody walked in and was like, ooh, martini. He's like, oh, well, you got to keep it classy. I told him, if someone mentions it again, I'm spilling it on your fucking lap. Peacocking fucking asshole. Tell them to shut up next door. Who is that?
It's another office.
Oh.
Shh. Okay. Hey, Mark, would you mind telling them? Because we are live, and that'll pick up.
Yeah.
It's a lot of podcasts.
And they got a studio, but they got a fucking, they got a vacation fucking, what?
I'm going to book Voss right now.
All right. Listen, we got one thing I want to say. Put your hand down. You're scaring me. Oh. Hang on 1 second. It's like my second stepdad. He's fucking big catches, big fucking redneck glove fucking sticking in front of my face. Voss, listen, we got big news, me and you, but we can't announce it.
Is it the radio show you guys are going to do together?
Nobody knows anything about
what I just said. It.
No, that's not it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Hey, how come you didn't do Wheeze?
I did, you fuck.
It's fucking 10 o'clock.
Don't you hate when you show up at a podcast and they have a they let you really let you know what which comic they like the most?
Hopefully I will. So you'll be in the top five.
Well, maybe 10, 15.
Seven. Top seven.
Yeah.
Where's Voss?
Voss? I don't know. Well, we've had 33 episodes, so.
Colin the most?
No. Well, who doesn't love Colin the most? Everybody loves Colin.
Colin's a great
That's the one thing about Voss. Listen, he will fucking come out swinging, and then he'll
he'll tire out,
run out of gas, and then he'll fucking get a second wind, and he'll get you. But I guarantee he'll have another bomb coming up very quickly because he gets greedy. And he should have hung up the fucking phone right there and had a waffle. But fucking, this fucking greedy cocksucker. He wants another one.
Always swinging for the fences.
Yeah, because he wants to feel it.
Yeah.
That's his drug. A he's nice, the, hot giggle.
He's the Jose Canseco of comedy.
Yeah, he really is. He wants to you fucking cocksucker.
Hey, honey. Can you put a nice hot giggle in my face? That's what I like, a nice hot giggle.
Well, listen. All right, shut up. We got news we're going to announce, not now, but we got some stuff happening, which is very exciting.
Okay, and, what was I going to say to you? I was going to ask you something. Oh, hey, listen, what's today? Next week?
He wants to know, where are you playing this weekend?
Yeah. Where are you, Voss? Perfect. Perfect time.
Derek, he comes back. You don't hang up on me.
I tried to get my plugs in. Oh my god.
That is so funny.
A special appearance by Rich Voss.
Yeah.
One of the funniest guys walking.
He really is, man.
Listen, people give him shit, whatever. Online or whatever. The ONA fan, but over the years, blah blah blah. There is nobody I would rather do anything with. He makes me laugh. Because he knows how to take it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like a motherfucker.
He does.
Watch out what he does, because it's gonna be a hot one. But he knows how to. He knows how to take it too.
Yeah.
Funniest guy ever.
He gave this guy a pretty nice verbal lashing when he was here. It was pretty marvelous.
On the show he did, but then I opened for him and he was super nice the whole weekend.
Great guy.
Yeah. And I felt like I hurt his feelings once because he comes in and he's wearing it's like the third night and he's wearing a slightly different colored flannel shirt.
Yeah.
And that fucking hat.
Oh, the Mexican outfit.
Yeah. And I go, what? The fuck is with the shirts? And he just goes, like I'd really hurt his feelings.
No,
and I was like, I'm sorry, I feel bad now. I said something about your shirt.
How you doing over there? Comfortable?
Yeah, it's a very comfortable fucking little IKEA couch you have here.
Yeah.
I'd rather be sitting in a chair with you guys.
Well, I understand.
I'd rather be over there.
I'm not going to lie to you. Most comedians don't want to be close to us, so we usually do. I don't know. I feel like this is
I'd rather sit over there with a regular microphone. I mean, you got me over here like fucking Eric Clapton.
We want to put it up on a pedestal at some point.
Yeah, I don't want to. I mean, you got a backdrop. I'd like to have a backdrop.
All right.
I'd like to sit where he sits. He should sit over there.
Do it. Switch with him.
Switch.
No.
Okay, listen. Okay.
I'm going to finish this out like this. I mean, let me know. Fuck it. Switch with me.
Yeah, all right. Switch with Bobby.
You get over there.
Here you go, my friend.
Let me get over there.
This is going to be confusing.
To who?
To the idiot in the
everything's
pushing the buttons.
How confusing to you?
Now
you know what? I like this a lot, but Brian, could you mind? Try doing it in the other room, Brian. Try going in there.
I like this, but all right, let me see.
Let's see.
Here's the thing with this whole setup. See,
beautiful.
All the cameras are too low. You need, let me take it from me. All right? Uh-huh. You need the cameras up here.
All right.
You need to bring the fucking thing up a little higher, and especially for you. It should go down a little bit. Look, everything's underneath. Nobody wants to see this fucking gullet.
I want to see it.
Look at that. Look at that. Look straight.
Ugh.
See, look at that. He's got a great setup, too, this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
How does he have a great setup?
Well,
see, and the camera's faced this way. The camera should be right here.
Uh-huh.
Right here, so I can look at you, because you're the host. You're the man.
Right?
So I should be looking right here.
Well, see,
camera's
but here's the
right
thing.
Here.
Hole's the thing, though. This is not set up for you. It's set up for him, and I don't want him looking at me.
True that.
See what I'm saying? See where I'm coming from?
I would not want eye contact with him. You're
exactly right. He's got beady, creepy eyes.
Yep, you're true. Yep.
And I just can't handle it.
Yeah,
so,
you're right.
I have resting creeper face.
You're right. You do.
You do.
There's no denying it.
You look like I'd meet you at a truck stop.
He does have the best GHB in Rochester.
Huh?
He's got the best GHB in Rochester.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
With a city with three colleges, it is saying something. Yeah. It is saying something.
I fought hard for that title.
I bet you were hard.
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah, this is a good setup you got here. This is pretty nice. I like this a lot. You guys really did yourself a good job here. I like it.
Well,
Coming from one podcasting person to another. I mean, you are a fucking nerd.
You know what it is, though? We have a comic book shop that sponsors us.
Oh, okay.
So,
look,
yeah.
First of all, I love comic books myself. Yeah. I have a... I am friends with Howard Porter.
No fooling.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. A lot of comic books artists follow my podcast.
I believe that.
Which is, I'm a huge fan of comic books.
Comic books and comedy go together.
They really do. I don't know why, because comic book artists aren't, you know, they're really cool people, man. They're nerdy people, actually, you know. Howard's a great guy. He's very quiet. You wouldn't think he would like my comedy, but he does. Him and his wife, fucking super people. Awesome. Awesome people. Yeah, I invite him to my birthday party, my Max's birthday party all the time. I love the artwork, too, in comic. I have a bunch of, like, I have a Deadpool, some artwork from a Deadpool, original Deadpool.
That's nuts.
Nice.
That's
nuts.
Pretty cool. I had Ryan Reynolds sign this thing, too.
Even though he had nothing to do with producing it, he just put your name on it.
Well, I mean, for him to be Deadpool and to bring that, I mean, he changed.
He made that movie.
You understand? He made it happen so that we can have.
And he leaked that trailer, too.
Cool, exactly. Cool, comic. We wouldn't have Logan without Deadpool.
100%.
Yeah, we wouldn't have Deadpool without Kick-Ass.
Uh-huh.
Now, Kick-Ass, everybody was like, it's going to suck, it's going to suck. I knew that was going to be a great movie.
Did not suck at all.
It was awesome. You got Nick Cage in a fucking comic book movie. You're doing good because he's crazy. He's perfect for that.
Yeah.
The girl was Cleo cutting.
Not a Superman, though.
What's her name? The daughter in that? Cleo.
What's her name?
Cleo something?
She's in a bunch of
stuff. She was in actually Louis' movie, which me and Voss were in.
Yeah.
She was the star of that.
Yeah. She was allowed on the big boat.
On a big boat with John Malkovich.
Yeah.
She unbelievable. She's unbelievable in it. But that movie opened it up. It was like, look, yes. And it was all about money, too, which makes me sick.
Yeah.
It's all about money. And they were like, we can make a lot of money with a rated R comic book movies, which we need. I don't mind the PGs, though.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, if you look at all the Avengers and Iron Mans.
And by the way, can I comment on your last podcast?
Yeah.
Last episode of your show?
Sure.
Second best Marvel movie, Captain America, Winter Soldier.
I would say no.
Okay, so you're going Avengers still?
I would have to say Iron Man, Avengers.
Yep.
And then I would say Guardians of the Galaxy. I know. I'd say, no, stop. Go back.
I think I go Guardians second.
The reason why I would go Iron Man, Avengers, because they brought all these people together successfully.
Yeah, that's true.
Which nobody, DC can't do it.
No, they cannot.
Nobody can bring them together successfully.
Yeah.
And number one, they made the Hulk fucking legit.
The Hulk is
the first time you saw the Hulk in a movie where you were like, you weren't thinking about how does his pants stay on?
Right.
Every other movie, you're like, well, how does his
CGI?
Avengers made me like the Hulk. I used to hate the Hulk.
Exactly, because he
sucked. And then now in this, I'm like, this is really cool.
I'll tell you, now I
go back and read some of the Hulk. I'm like, oh, no, I actually do like the
Hulk. I'll tell you, you love the Hulk. And you know how they did it? They let him talk.
Yeah.
They went, what do you say? What did he say?
Puny God.
Puny God.
Yeah.
And you went,
That was Lou, too. They let Lou do the voice.
And that's, you understand? That's why you love that movie. That's why it's number two for me. Because it brought it all together and it made the Hulk legit. All right.
Okay. You convinced me.
Great. Then, number three, Deadpool.
Yeah.
Deadpool, because that's the movie, that's the Crow. That's True Romance of the genre. That's the movie where you went, it's not this.
Right.
It's this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where you went, oh my, and you fucking laughed. The opening credit scene, suck my fuck. And the way the movie came out, Ryan Reynolds is a gorgeous rom-com guy. And now he made the movie he wanted to make.
Yeah.
Deadpool fucking blew. When you saw him in X-Men,
oh my God.
You were like, oh please, please, let be more. And then at the end, he does. You took the guy who talks. And you sewed his mouth shut?
Worst decision in the history of filmmaking.
I can't even fucking believe it. And then
yeah.
they... So three, that goes three. Then I go Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Then I go Winter Soldier.
Because I think that what I loved about Winter Soldier was just the fact that they actually had a real awesome villain that you couldn't figure it out. It was almost like, okay, it's Hydra, but you're trying to figure out the whole thing. And I thought it was really cool. When it comes back, it's Robert Redford's the bad guy. The Robert Redford heel turn we've all been waiting for.
I'm changing my mind. I'm going Civil War.
But Deadpool also, now they might be, there might be a rated R Star Wars movie. Of Deadpool.
Good.
You know, where they're we can do rated R or whatever.
There should be adult movies. We should be able to go to a movie as an adult, and you should let people have the responsibility to see it. And you know what? You know, how rated R is it going to be? You're going to say fuck, and there's going to be some killings.
It's going to be a lot of violence.
Yeah, there's going to be some violence in it. Look, I don't think that you should, like, even my kid, I'm not going to let my kid watch Deadpool. But even, like, all right, look at... When I grew up,
mm-hmm.
we had the Brady Bunch, Gilligan's Island, okay, Dick Van Dyke, that type of shit, right?
Pretty much.
I mean,
how old are you?
I'm 47.
Yeah, I'm 43.
Okay, so now, yeah, right? If you look at TV now, Nickelodeon, Salmon Cat Show. Mm-hmm. You don't even know what it is.
No clue. Yeah.
No, it's two young girls that live together, right?
Yeah.
And one of there's one scene I'm watching with my kid. They're watching old people. There's a curb that's high, and the girl goes there and has lunch to watch old people just trip and fall. We're in a different time,
right?
Yeah.
That, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, imagine the Brady Bunch kids going, "What's going on? Oh, we're just watching old people fall on a curb." You'd be like, "What the fuck?"
Sydney or Dollar just sitting there giggling.
Yeah, it's a different time, so you got to kind of go with it. And I think having rated R superhero movies, especially if it's going to make money, for me, being a 47-year-old fucking child, because that's
you.
I mean, that's guys, who we are.
People give me shit. People give me shit. All right,
they should. You're surrounded by dolls.
Yeah,
he's on a couch with a poo pillow.
You should see his attic.
Yeah, you got a bunch of shit.
I got some cool shit.
You got a Deadpool? Any Deadpool?
I got some Deadpool.
You know what I have?
What do you got?
Well, you know the movie that Mark Wahlberg was in, the Max Payne?
Yeah.
You know Max Payne, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have the doll.
The Max Payne doll.
The Max Payne doll from Rockstar Video.
Okay.
The Mark Wahlberg one?
The Mark Wahlberg, the one that came out with the gun.
Who made it? Do you know?
I don't know.
I think I know. Is it McFarlane? Like a McFarlane
yeah,
deal?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
right on.
Yeah.
See what a nerd I am. I know. Like, I'm just right in that.
And I have one of the inkworks from Deadpool.
Yeah, that's...
And I have from Howard, you know Howard Porter?
Right.
He, for my son's birthday, drew Supermax. My son...
No fooling.
As a comic book hero, Supermax, first edition... blah, 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 into a poster.
Wow.
And gave me the artwork, the original artwork from his thing.
That's pretty awesome.
That's
something to hang on to as a kid.
For my kid.
Don't give it to him until he's like 18.
Oh, it's on his wall.
Oh, no fooling.
Fuck yeah.
Right
when
on.
When he's 17 telling you that you're a cocksucker, you just be like, I made that poster for you.
Well, I didn't. Howard will.
Well,
I had that
poster made
well,
for
I
you.
Mean, think about that. When he's older, he's going to have, and he's going to go, oh, this is, I mean.
This is the Howard Porter. This
crazy.
Is my portrait.
It's crazy.
This is my portrait.
It's going to get him laid by some really weird chick someday.
Yeah, some chick with fucking black under her eyes.
And some
fucking,
kind of bandana with ears on it.
Yeah, she has a top hat. Fucking.
Just she wears a coat with tails everywhere she goes.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Great.
She's at a pool. She comes out with tails and a top hat. She has a black-eyed, hairless cat with her at all times in her tit. Just
did you see
middle.
The Rob Porter? Just stand there, meow, just hard petty the cat.
Every time she sees my son, she scratches his face and makes him bleed. Hi, honey, I love you.
Everybody's got to have one girl like that, though.
Yeah, she cries blood.
Shit. I have a question for you.
Yeah, 6.5 inches.
This is one thing we do every single episode. We ask everybody that comes in here, do you have any advice? For anybody who wants to step on stage for the first time.
I tell you, the best it's such a hard thing to say.
I know.
The best, I think I have it figured out. And Joe Rogan gave me this advice a long time ago when I asked him the same question.
So Joe Rogan had it figured out.
Well, I think, because I had to figure it over the years, because is it right, is it wrong, you know what I mean? Joe Rogan was, as when you say, like who'd you look up to? Joe Rogan was one of those guys.
Sure.
Because he was on TV and stuff, and he did this comedy, and it was edgy, and he talked about getting blowjobs on regular TV, and he figured out how to be him, and I really love that. And the first time I ever worked with him, I asked him the same question, because comics always ask that. What do I do? Sure. How do I? And he said, "Not." He said, "There's no advice anybody will ever give you that's worth anything." He goes, "Just do it." All right. He goes, "Don't ask for advice. Don't ask if you're funny." It was just like, "Who? How the fuck? You know, so who's going to tell you what?" Every person you ask is going to have a different. Be clean. Don't be clean. Be yourself. Do 5 minutes. Get 5 minutes clean. And then everybody has a different way of fucking doing this business, a different road. And you have to find your voice. And the only way to find it is going to take years, years.
Long road.
Right. And just getting on stage. He goes, just go. His only advice was just get on stage. That's it. That's all you need to do as a stand-up comic. Just get on stage.
It's about half the job.
That's it. That's all the job.
Yeah. Okay,
I mean,
true.
Look, you get on stage with, all right, yes, of course, you're saying you have to write and blah, blah, blah. Okay,
sure.
Fine. But if you write and you don't get on stage, it
There's
doesn't
no
matter.
Right.
What matters is, if I don't care what stage it is either, two people, 300, 10, whatever the fuck it is, getting up there and revealing your shit to a crowd as much as you can, day after day, month after month, year after year, and then at somewhere you're going to be like, oh shit, I'm doing this,
right.
Or I'm not.
Yeah.
Or I'm not. All the advice in the world, every comic has gotten advice, but only certain comics make it, and only certain comics do it. And I guarantee it had nothing to do with advice. It just had to do with getting on stage. So just get on stage. That's all you have to do. Find a stage and do your jokes. All
right. I'm going to throw you a couple quick more.
Go ahead.
I usually like to ask questions, but I'm not today because a lot of people wanted to talk to you.
What's up?
They wanted to know, what's it like working with the great Lyle Chip Chipperson?
It's, oh boy. It's, what's
that? That one came from Todd Gerslin.
What's that?
What's that?
What's that?
I don't know.
What's that?
What? You know, that almost got me divorced.
I hate Chip so bad.
I understand. I
My kid loves Chip. My wife loves Chip. I remember I was in the other room, and I heard my kid, and I'm like, what's he doing? All of a sudden, he's like, Chippa. We had Chip over for dinner last Sunday. It was a nightmare. It just sucks.
Does he stays in character the whole time?
No, of course not. I'll kick him out if he does.
Right, right.
Psychopath. But my kid calls him Chip, doesn't call him Jim. He goes, Chippa. Loves him. Comes over. He does Chip for my kid.
That's hysterical. That's fun, though. It's kind of sweet.
Yeah, it's fun that my fucking son has to... My friend is slowly fucking collapsing in front of me, becoming other people. He has 9 different personalities. All you fucking fans out there are just laughing at him, and he just keeps doing it, and he's slowly deteriorating because he doesn't know who he is.
Well,
but yeah, no, that's fun. I'm going to lose my friend Jim, is slowly becoming Sybil. But yeah, that's good.
You know how your kid will handle it when you get Alzheimer's, then? He's going to handle it the same way. He's just going to sit and laugh at you.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Hopefully. So if I get that, I'm fucked. If I get that where I don't remember people, I want my wife to just put me down. I really do. Just let me go. Just fucking inject me. I don't want to fucking. I don't want to be a burden. That's my biggest fear, is being a burden on people that I love.
Ugh.
I get used to it.
Yeah, Brian's totally fine with it.
You really do have burden face.
Oh, God.
Your energy is fucking burdening me right now.
Thank God he has 2 kids. He's their problem.
What the fuck? This whole leg crossing, fucking hugging him.
There's an art to it.
His hugging himself leg cross.
I'm not used to being on the couch. It's really
He's literally holding himself. That's how much pain he's in.
I'll splay.
Yeah, please. Fucking relax.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
I wish, man. I wish, for once, I wish I had an AR-15.
My
God, you're right there.
He has the ankles of my Aunt Dottie.
Lovely woman.
Lovely Irish woman.
Next question. This one came from Cam Tiller. How was it turning with Dane Cook towards the height of his popularity?
Well,
that's got to be crazy. That guy.
It was cool. I mean, we had a lot of good times, man. I mean, look, we fought. Well, you know, we fought over the years. I mean, we're both in our own fucking head, you know. I mean,
sure.
But. You know, if you look back on it, I mean, he was a rock star.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't care if you love him or hate him. You're talking about a guy who was selling out arenas. You and you know, and I was lucky enough to go on that with him. And there was good times and bad times. Sure. I'm not going to say it was, oh, man, I hate people go, dude, it was so rocking. Man, it was so, man, so generous and everything. Fuck off. Look, right. Man, go fuck yourselves. Anytime there's comics, any tour you see with a bunch of comics, people are fucking hating each other, fighting each other, talking about each other behind their backs.
Right.
Trust me. We're the fucking craziest cocksuckers. Fuck Guns N' Roses.
We're fucked.
Okay? We're fucked. But, yeah, it was a great time, man. We're talking about arenas, four people on an 18-person fucking private jet. Wow. Four of us. Yep. We had the limo guy pulling to McDonald's before we got on a fucking Learjet to go to fucking Vegas. Yeah. I mean, we did 80 cities. Yeah, I mean, crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, I'll never forget it. I wish I was in it a little more. I do wish my ego was a little looser. I wish I could have let up a little bit on it, because you're always like, you know, you think you want to be the star. You want to be the motherfucker. But in reality, you know, everybody, you are the rock star. What I do. Look, being here this weekend is fucking crazy for me. I was here. 30 years ago, I was a fucking raving 15-year-old alcoholic that was going to jail.
Yeah, you had some trouble in this town.
But if you look back and now to come back and do comedy, it's a great thing. So I had a great time, man. I wish I could go back and kind of slow it down a little more, but it was awesome.
And all the shit people give Dane Cook, and I'm one of them sometimes, but when I went to that show in Vegas, I was fucking entertained.
Yeah, thank you.
I like how he brought it up again because he expects you to remember him from the audience.
No, I was back row comp tickets. I was a spec.
people fuck with that dude, but they're just dumb because he was the one who brought Rockstar Comedy back.
He was.
I mean, all these fucks are doing arenas now. He's the one who paved the way for people to go, oh, we can do this with one guy.
Yeah.
You know, one guy can sell out Madison Square Garden again.
After Dice, they forgot.
They did, because it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
And comics are the new rock stars. I mean, think about the tours that are going on with comedians.
That's true.
Craig, Kevin Hart.
Stadium.
That's a little four-foot-one black dude from Philly. Sold out a fucking stadium.
It's WrestleMania with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it was mediocre material, but...
You heard it here, folks.
I'm kidding. Little Kev's one of the funniest guys.
Hey, Bobby Kelly, Mark's telling me you got to get out of here. Yeah, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Four shows this weekend.
Two tonight, two tomorrow.
Awesome. Comedy at CarlsonComedy.com, 585-4Comedy for your tickets. And obviously check out Bobby's podcast and subscribe to Riotcast. Yeah. I do, because they have some great shows on there.
Go to my Patreon page. I got a brand new show coming
up. Give Bobby money.
Well, what I'm doing now, and I'm serious, I'm starting to produce my own shit because I don't want, I'm sick of, no,
very
no.
Smart. Very
I'm like,
smart.
Fuck it. So I got a new show that I'm actually producing. I actually did the first episode called Live from the Shed.
Mm-hmm.
I have a shed in my backyard that I redid, and I shoot a TV show out of it with three iPhones. I have a crew, and the first guest was Colin Quinn 2 days before his heart attack, actually. And,
is that what did it to him?
That's what he said from the hospital. He said,
chemicals in the shed.
Oh, it'd be funny if it was. But yeah, we got a show.
There's just an open bag of fertilizer in the corner.
I got a bunch of stuff up there for my Patreon. And we're going to be doing a bunch of extra content, and it's funded by the fans. So the support that I get from them gives me the money to actually do these shows. I plan on doing 12 of these a year, if not more. We got a bunch of other stuff we're going to actually shoot, which you're editing and filming. All that stuff costs money to get people to do it. And my fans are going to actually support me in giving them content that's different than they get. And I'm not going to ask for people to find, can you put me on your network? Go fuck yourself. I'll just do it myself.
Sure.
So there you go.
It's a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
it's
guys
a
doing it too.
Do-it-yourself world, man.
Yeah.
It's a do-it-yourself world.
Absolutely. Say it one more time.
It's a do-it-yourself world, and can we please be on your network?
It's a whoa, shit.
I'm
where'd that
fine.
Come from?
I'm just screwing with you.
The fuck? All right, we got to go, man.
Time to get out of here. Bobby Kelly, thank you. Four more shows this weekend. Nick, hit the credits, and let's get out of here.